Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Agents of Mace. Today, we're continuing our watch through of the X-Men 97 series on Disney Plus. This entire series is already out, but we're going episode by episode. So we're, I guess, a couple weeks behind when it fully released. But, well, actually, is the whole thing out?
I thought they were doing it week by week, but they released like two the first week.
That's right.
I thought that was the deal.
Yes, that is
so
the deal.
Be done yet.
So we're not done yet. So you can't have finished it. Or maybe you did finish it and you work at Disney. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But
someone's special.
We are slowly catching back up. So we talked about how episode one kind of followed the old X-Men series. And this episode, I feel like it's because up till now, the only animated thing that we've really gotten has been What If, and What If was so disjointed, and like its episodes didn't really have anything to do with other episodes. I don't know why, but when the second episode started, I was kind of expecting it to not be related to the first episode. I don't know why. Even saying it's like, well, that's weird. Why wouldn't it be? But I was super excited to continue with what's going on, especially since the last episode ended on a sort of a cliffhanger with Magneto coming back and now being in charge of the X-Men. So I think in all, this was a really fun episode that gets to like explore a little more of Magneto and like maybe what the X-Men have been up to in this year that we haven't seen them. So I guess my first thoughts will be, fun episode. I still want more Wolverine. And I also still don't understand how, in theory, Magneto has been around for a very long time, and yet people still choose to shoot regular guns at him. And it doesn't make sense.
If a gun's all you got, then a gun's what you use, I think.
I guess, yeah, but like, you gotta know he's Magneto. It's not gonna work. So, I don't know.
They start throwing frisbees at him because yeah. They're plastic.
Yeah, something. Yeah. I think even the lady who like shoots a blast at him is like, this is an electromagnetic blast. And he goes, well, good thing I'm Magneto and I'm the master of magnetism. And it's like, oh, come on, lady. Like, you didn't know that? Well, how about you? What are first thoughts?
I had so many questions as we went through this episode. It was just question after question after question. And that's not to say like that it was confusing or ridiculous. It was just every couple of minutes, something would come up and I'd be like, wait, what? What? And it made it extremely entertaining. Like, this is where I feel like the true potential of this series has really settled in. This was a very enjoyable episode. And the first one was also enjoyable. It teed up everything that I feel like is to come in these following episodes. But yeah, this one just hit the ground running. It was it was all killer, no filler. And I know we talked last week about how we wanted filler episodes. This was not one.
Yeah, no, this one all had story.
Enough, yeah, it had enough content for like three or four episodes. But yeah, this was a fun one, and I'm excited for us to talk about it.
Yeah, so I think the major takeaway from this episode is that we were introduced to the idea that they have this, I guess it's a bullet. They haven't really explained it yet. It's just a gun that takes away your mutant powers. And we don't really know the severity or like how long. Essentially, Storm takes a bullet, air quotes, for Magneto and loses her powers. And when Hank is kind of like figuring out how it's going to affect her and maybe how long, he says that it looks like it's permanent. I guess out of everyone in this show, he's probably the smartest. So he would know. I have a feeling that Storm will get her powers back, but maybe not. I don't know. We haven't seen the whole thing. And they did hit the ground running, I guess, in the first episode by explaining that she's an Omega level threat mutant, so that she's super powerful and she immediately lost her powers. Who else could possibly lose their powers as the series goes on? And having something this big going on at the same time, Jean and Scott have their baby. And it's like, these two stories are so vastly different, but also I see how they're connected. You know, the world is sort of like anti-mutant, and now there's people out there taking away mutant powers. But boy, oh boy, what a rough spot to be in, where like they already were like, we're going to leave the X-Men. And then Scott was like, I don't know that I want to leave. And also now Magneto's in charge. I really don't think we should leave. So they're probably not going to leave.
Doesn't look like it at this point. Like the whole baby, like, I guess it's a subplot in this episode. It's just a lot. It's a lot that Jean goes into labor and only has Wolverine with her. I can't believe that the X-Mansion doesn't have some sort of medical facility like on that campus. So they have to go to a hospital. And then you get there and apparently the hospital is fully staffed with anti-mutant like bigot people. And so like, I'm not operating on a mutant. Things could go really haywire in there. And so this is one of the points where I had lots of questions. Cause I was like, did Jean get like no prenatal care? Was she just like relying on telekinesis to like check in with the baby and see if like everything's cool? And then she's just like, no, it'll be fine. And then in the end, instead of just trusting that, you know, labor might go okay, and she is like a super powerful mutant, or instead of just reading a doctor's mind herself to figure out what she needs to do to safely deliver the baby, she does like tell Rogue to absorb the guy's doctor powers. And Rogue is like, if I touch your baby, it's in trouble. And I was like, yes, Rogue is truly not the person who should be doing this. This is not the person who should deliver a baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, it somehow all worked out. And they have little baby Nathan at the end, which made, when I was watching this with Mason, he goes, ugh, Nathan. And I was like, what's wrong with Nathan? I think maybe he is upset that, you know, two super powerful mutants picked a very basic name for their baby.
Yeah. Nathan's pretty basic.
I liked it.
Cyclops and Jean Grey. I definitely think the moment where she was like, just touch the doctor and take his doctor powers. I feel like I forget sometimes that Rogue's ability is just to take the talents of other people, not mm-hmm. necessarily their mutant abilities. So I guess in theory that would work. But also, couldn't she just wear like really long gloves and it would be fine?
I mean, she did put on gloves. I remember that part of the episode. So maybe, I don't know, maybe she's like, as long as this latex holds,
yeah,
this super powerful latex.
Yeah, no holes in the latex, then it's fine.
Yeah. But still, it was all messed up. I felt real bad for Wolverine. Because you can tell this is not his element.
Yeah. He's just put in, you know, the rough spots. That's what he's there for. I feel like we're going to get a lot of Jean Grey moving forward. A big moment that happens in this episode is we see presumably either a clone or a future or past version of Jean come and say that she needs the X-Men. This could lead to a couple different stories. We could be following the story where there's like a clone of Jean that comes in, and then I don't really remember 100% of it, but at some point she turns evil and she basically becomes evil Jean Grey. Mm-hmm. Or this could be the new X-Men storyline, is that the X-Men are all old now. And I don't remember why, but for some reason they decide to fix the problem is to bring all of the X-Men from the past so that they're back here again, coexisting the younger versions of themselves and the older versions of themselves. So it could be something along that line, although she doesn't look that much younger.
Mm-hmm.
She's just not pregnant.
I was about to say, she just looks not pregnant and not immediately postpartum. She doesn't look either one of those things. Unfortunately, this entire moment was overshadowed for me because all I could think about was Wolverine being like, jackpot, whenever an exact clone of Jean Chestnut that's not married to Scott, presumably.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's surprising that he didn't say anything. My first thought was, is this Morph?
Oh, doing a goof, well, or maybe being evil.
Yeah, either pulling a prank or like setting a trap. I'm still not 100% on board with Morph right now.
Yeah, we're not sure what's happening there.
Yeah. We also, in this episode, get a little bit more of like the remnants of Magneto's storyline from the original series, mm-hmm. which like he established Genosha as like a mutant safe haven. In the comics, eventually, I don't remember what happens, like a war happens or something, Genosha basically becomes like a wasteland, and that's what kind of kicks off House of M. So I don't know if we're going to be moving towards putting the mutants in Genosha instead and doing more of the like separate, I know we talked about it last time, like there's a storyline where Magneto sets up Genosha, that fails, Scott sets up Utopia mm-hmm. as like the place, and that is kind of where he goes crazy. But it's this constant need for like, we need to separate and be our own governing body somewhere else instead of like coexisting. And we get them talking about it with Magneto, but then also they mention on the news that the UN pardons Magneto and sends aid to Genosha. So it seems like there is a colony still kind of working in Genosha. So I'm wondering if we're going to move that way, like if we're going to get out of the mansion, or if they're going to stay in the mansion and then change it to Jean Grey's school
mm-hmm.
for gifted whatever, or in the most recent run of the school, it was Wolverine, or it was Logan's school. So maybe that direction, but I wonder if it's going to stay Xavier's for a while, or if they're going to kind of pave over having Professor X be a relevant, because we didn't really talk about him since the first episode.
Well, because he's not there anymore.
Well, yeah, he's dead. Yeah,
he's dead. But they also still include him in the opening credits, so that does make me wonder if he's going to return in some capacity later in the series. But yeah, now that Scott is a dad, I can see him being drawn to the idea of a safe haven, especially if he wants to keep working on behalf of mutants. So I could definitely envision him maybe coming more to Magneto's side, whether he should or not, about Genosha, or maybe founding a place, like you said, like Utopia on his own. I think that is plausible with the anxiety that comes with being a new parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being a new parent that's also in this like weird co-leadership role of the X-Men. And we see that Magneto is still Magneto. He's still like, I want mutants to be in charge, but he's sort of refraining from doing that in a I'm gonna kill humans way. I wonder how long that's gonna last. Like, is he good for now, or is he good? Did he like, is he like slowly making the change? I don't know. I feel like there's no way that by the end of this series, Magneto's still a good guy.
It's a really tough one, because they do, like, throughout all of X-Men media, they create a lot of like sympathy for Magneto, but they've never fully redeemed him ever. And so it would be weird for them to suddenly be like, no, he's all good. We like him now. Look, he's just cute and happy. And
yeah,
it's a tough one to imagine, but who knows? Maybe they're like, this is the time. We're putting some respect on Magneto's name.
Well, yeah, but so something else that happens in this episode is there's a hint at a weird relationship going on potentially between Rogue and Gambit now that may have at some point been Rogue and Magneto.
Yes.
Which is a little creepy, because he's like gotta be in his like 90s. I mean, how old is Magneto? He was a kid in World War II.
Yeah, so like I'm imagining he was born in the 30s, and if this is in like 97,
oh yeah,
he is probably in his 60s. But also, he's got that crazy mutant aging, so they don't age quite as fast as people and can live really long. But yeah. I mean, Rogue also has that, so even if she's like 30-ish.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
She still would not be 30-ish for real.
Right.
So, like, I had never heard of this before in my entire life, that they were a thing. And so I was like, and then Mason's like, yeah, they totally hooked up whenever Rogue was in the Brotherhood. I was like, what? And he's like, yeah. Well, I don't remember. I just remember that was a thing. And so, Yeah, I was confused, but I don't. They clearly had some like real kind of connection, because at the end, whenever they like were able to actually touch each other's hands, I was like, what? So I couldn't even bring myself to totally hate it. I could hate it a little.
Just a little. But I feel like for me, it's just like it's more of like a creepy factor of like, oh, you guys were in a relationship when you were both bad, and now you're both good. And if decide to be bad again, is the relationship like a telltale sign that you're swinging back to being bad? Also, like, where are the other Brotherhood people? Mutants? Like, they gotta be somewhere. Toad's out there somewhere.
Maybe they'll show up. Maybe they just have a big house party and everyone comes.
We did see,
like, this, whatever was happening was enough to upset Gambit, because he saw something and was, like, really grumpy about it. And so I got the sense that he and Rogue weren't quite a thing yet, but that there was maybe a flirtation there. I know that they're together in, like, the comics and things like that. I think that she's married to Gambit, isn't she?
I think now, yeah.
So yeah, they're definitely an important couple, but I don't know if they're fully a couple in this timeline yet.
Well, it seems like it might be leading that way. There are some other characters that I'm wondering if they're going to show up or not. I feel like the original series did a lot more to pull in more characters, like, constantly. Whereas this seems like, it almost seems like we're missing a couple characters that could easily slide in. But I'm wondering if we're trying to focus more on this key cast of like six, and just do that for now. And then maybe second season we'll introduce more people and get into other stories. Because I'm thinking, like, we see the framed photo. I think it was in this episode. It might have been the first episode of the first class X-Men. And all I can ever think is, like, well, Bobby Drake, Iceman, is a original mutant X-Men. But he's not in this.
He's not in this yet.
Yeah.
Like, we know that there is at least one major character that hasn't shown up yet, because they said that they cast the actor Theo James as a mystery fan favorite character. And so we don't know who it is yet. And that just causes a lot of anxiety and anticipation, because, like, Theo James is great. And I'm excited to see him. I don't know if I've ever seen him do anything with, like, voice work before. But now I'm like, well, who are y'all going to throw at us? What is this?
Yeah, and you know, fan favorite is a loaded term. Yeah, because, like, fan favorite now, or fan favorite in the original X-Men series, or, like, fan favorite overall X-Men character. So
is this a Howard the Duck style fan favorite?
Right. Yeah. Oh my God. If Howard the Duck shows up, what are we going to do? You know,
be really sad if it's Theo James instead of Seth Green. I did see some speculation it could be Deadpool, but I really don't think they would cast anybody else as Deadpool than, like, Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Especially not with the movie about to come out. It just seems like, would you do that so fast?
Yeah, and what sense would it make to, like, and I would understand if it was, like, a different series that was, like, maybe airing on, like, Disney or something like that, and they were getting, like, basically people who strictly do voice acting like they do for the Avengers and all that. But why, in a series like this, would they cast another very famous person to play someone who's also played by a very famous person. Like, it wouldn't make sense to recast with somebody who is also a well-known celebrity and probably needing to be paid a substantial amount of money.
Right. Well, and I'm wondering if he's, and this goes back to, like, what does fan favorite mean?
Yeah.
Do we think he's going to be an X-Men or like a good mutant, or do we think he's going to be a villain for the series? Could he be voicing Mr. Sinister? I mean, we know that he's a character that's going to show up eventually, but we haven't seen him yet. Does that count? Is Mr. Sinister fan favorite? I don't know. He's not my fan favorite, but I guess I'm not the person being polled. So who knows? I think overall, episode two, like we said, good episode, lots of story stuff going on. I think the negative side to episode two would probably be it does seem like we're getting a lot of story all at once, and I feel like we should probably deal with some of this background story going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I don't care about the Summers baby, but like, I don't care about the Summers baby right now. I think, you know, once the baby has a power, or like we figure out what's the thing going on here, I just don't want it to be like we're not going to get a lot of Jean Grey because, mm-hmm. well, she's taking care of the baby.
Yeah, that's, I do care about the baby, but only because I love all baby content forever. But also, whenever I looked up Nathan Summers, that's supposed to be Cable. But also in the comics continuity, Cable isn't Scott's son with Jean. It's his son with a clone of Jean, which is the same but also different.
But also, so maybe the clone is not a clone.
Maybe the clone is Jean.
Yeah.
But that is also, like, it's really... it's confusing. So we don't know if this baby is Cable or not. We don't know who this baby is.
And we don't know if Jean is Jean or if Jean is a clone. Maybe the Jean that Scott has Cable or Nate with is a clone sent by Mr. Sinister, who has captured Jean Grey, who comes back because she escapes and asks for the help of the X-Men. It's a tangled web.
Maybe the clone that is Jean Grey doesn't know she's a clone and thinks she is Jean.
We've seen it before.
So much. It's a lot.
Like, literally everything with clones has a clone that's like, am I the clone or am I the original? I don't know. Man, now I feel like my conspiracy brain is all over the place. I didn't even think of that. Boy, oh boy. All right. Well, I'm going to think about that for the rest of the day. I want to know your thoughts on, like, what do you think is going on? Do you think that the story is going to be more centered around this anti-mutant group and Trask trying to get rid of mutants? Or do you think the story is going to be more around X-Men facing a normal X-Men villain with this sort of, like, anti-mutant stuff going on in the background?
Because
It hasn't really swung one way or the other yet.
And hasn't it been confirmed that they're doing a season two?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so season two is confirmed, and they're currently in the process of potentially confirming season three already.
Okay, so I think that maybe the Trask thing is going to be the big overall, but I don't know how much we'll see of it this season.
Okay.
This one might be focused on this division between the X-Men. Like, do we follow Magneto? Do we not? And then, of course, this conflict. Do Jean and Scott stay, or do they go?
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to say this early on. We're only two episodes in, and it's supposed to be a 10-episode series. So
I am wondering if Jean and Scott leave, who is going to... like, at that point, they're going to have to either introduce a couple new characters to bring in, or potentially, like, disband the X-Men and then try to start new X-Men and bring in, like, a whole new class of characters. and then these characters become teachers instead. I think it would be fun. I think it's a way for them to kind of further the story, especially knowing that they're about to start live action X-Men, and like, how's that going to go? Like, what X-Men are we going to get in that? Are we starting over again? Or are we getting like some middle of the road? These X-Men have been here the whole time. X-Men. That's kind of what it seems like, but the questions never end, Disney, Marvel, and you never answer them. Speaking of questions, let's talk about our, well, is there anything else for this episode that we missed?
The only note that I have written down that I haven't already crossed off is Magneto is also swole.
Yes, he is. He is ripped. They all are.
Yeah. But again, mutants, like ordinarily a 70-year-old dude, you wouldn't expect to be just like cut like Magneto is. But yeah. But Magneto's not normal. He's a mutant.
The only person that we can't tell if they're like cut yet or not is Jubilee, and it's because she wears that giant jacket. But I like to think if she took that off, she just has like huge bulging muscles underneath there
because of her fireworks powers.
Exactly. Yeah. her dance party fireworks.
I was just thinking somebody on our street was shooting off fireworks during the eclipse a little bit ago.
Why? Not historically a fireworks event, but
no, not legally a fireworks event.
Okay, well, let's talk about our answers for the question last week. And our question last week was, what mutant would you like to see show up in this series, either as a side character or as a main character or one of Morph's weird changey intos? Mine is probably the farthest from happening just based on X-Men storyline and where we are. But mine would be Honey Badger, which is a clone of X-23, who is a clone of Wolverine. So a clone of a clone. But she is slowly becoming she raised the ranks of my favorite X-Men from like, all of a sudden she was in my top 10, then she was in my top 5, then she was in my top 3, where she's probably going to stay because my top 2 are probably not going to move. But yeah, so that would be probably who I'd want to see. Although, again, I recognize it's a very, very long shot.
Well, now that we know that she's a mutant, I think it would be fun to bring in Kamala Khan. Wrong timeline, wrong era, but it would be fun just to see her again and to get Iman Vellani on the voice cast.
That would be a lot of fun. And mm-hmm. I feel like they are trying to figure out how to intertwine this and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So they already have the like Young Avengers show or whatever that has Kamala Khan in it mm-hmm. with her mutant abilities, not her like magic light abilities. So
yeah,
that would definitely be a fun thing to pull from or cross over.
Yeah.
So that's a good one. All right. Well, for this week, I think our question should probably be pretty straightforward, but do you think that Magneto is good or bad? Or I guess you could say in between, but I'm going to stick a hard good or bad. And I only want to know because I just can't see him being good. I could see him doing this as like a little favor to Charles until he figures out how to use it for his own gains. But every time we've seen Magneto be good in anything, live action or animated, it's very quickly followed up with him killing somebody or being like, this is too hard, I'm just going to be bad again. So
yeah, the only way I think that they fully redeem him is if they also kill him.
Ooh, that would be wild.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I didn't even think of that. That would be interesting. I would be interested to see what happens and who does it. Does he sacrifice himself? Who would take over from there? I guess Scott. Man.
Scott's like, I already took over. This guy's an arrow.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you have to take over the entirety of the mutant race. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'm going to think on that. Mm-hmm. So join us next week for our answers for this week's question. Don't forget to follow us on social media. There's going to be some new posts going up and some posts that go along with each episode. So you'll be able to see things that we talk about and some of the images and maybe I'll learn how to do polls on Instagram. I don't know. It's a long shot. But I'll try. But anyway, thank you all for listening this week. Definitely join us next week as we continue our watch through of X-Men 97 with our bowls of cereal on Saturday mornings, watching cartoons in our pajamas. See you all next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.